Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a great word. It is a great word. It's as if Joshua has stepped out of time and come into our time. You know, he's speaking to us today, and he's letting us know that the Lord called righteous. God is righteous. And I'm sure there are those that are saying, how can a righteous God allow a hospital with children to be bombed? How can a righteous God allow war and rumors of war? Because he is God, and he's calling his children home. He's calling his children home. We may not understand what God is doing, but God is doing what God does, because he is in everything. God is in charge. So many times we want to try and take his place. We want to play God, and there's only one. He is Jehovah. He is our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We forget that it's not our will, but God's will. Nothing happens in the universe without God's permission. Nothing happens in the universe without God's permission. We may not like what is going on. We may not like what we see.
We may think it's so unfair for children to die because of adults with power acting ugly. We may not like what's going on in this world, but we must remember that God is in charge. He's in charge, and we need to pray. We need to lift up the name of the righteous Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lift up the name of Jesus, and we need to pray. We need to turn that plate over and pray. Turn it over and pray. Pray for those that are in need, that do not know Jesus. But now is a good time to know him. And as we pray, the Father's prayer, not mine, as I started it, let us finish it. Please, if you don't know it, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to pray. As we open up this morning, we're going to pray the Father's Prayer. And it says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go to the 14th and 15th verse, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And for those like me who learned this prayer in King James, we're going to pray it again. We're going to pray it again. The way we learned it. And it goes like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go into verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. We have to forgive. We have to pray. We have to ask God to heal the land. We have to ask God for peace. There are those ready and willing to send someone else's children to war. Not theirs, but somebody else's children to war. Always ready to go to war, not because they care about the safety of their nations, but because it's a way to make money. the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we see it. We see it in our world today. We see it in how people treat each other. God is a God of love. And he wants us to love each other. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to care about each other. God does not want us to be hateful and hate feels. What did his word just say? That we have to forgive the trespasses of others as God forgives our trespasses. We cannot walk around in hate. I hate this person. I hate that group of people. A six-year-old child was stabbed to death and his mother was stabbed also. Why? Because he just happened to have come from Palestine. And someone decided, because they are in agreement with Israel, to kill a baby. So full of prejudice and hate that they could kill a baby. Why? Because he doesn't look like me. Because he does not look like me. He doesn't look like me. We have got to pray. We've got to fast. Because there are things that do not come but through fasting and prayer. And peace will not come except for through fasting, prayer. Families are hating each other, not speaking to each other because of what's going on in another country. Churches are not worshiping together because of what's going on in the world. We all love Jesus. We all claim to love Jesus. Well, Jesus is our shepherd. God is our shepherd. And we shall not want. We have to pray. And we have to go into the Word of God and listen to the Word of God. And know that God's word is true. And the word of God that we are coming out of this morning is Jeremiah chapter 23 and 24. The 119th Psalm, Gemel, verses 17 through 24. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 15 through 16. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, a new book. We are going into 2 Thessalonians this morning. And so we will have a Know Your Bible. But let's get started. Heavenly Father God, we pray your prayer this morning. We lift up our brothers and our sisters, Lord God. We ask you to forgive the debt of sin, generational curses, We ask you, Lord God, to bind the spirit of war. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up our children and ask you to put a hedge of protection around each and every child around their home, God. We ask you to watch over the widows and the orphans, God, and our elderly seniors. Watch over them, God. Cover their homes, God, as we lift up our planet, God. We ask you, Lord, to please lead us and guide us away from extinction. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I lift up this mighty word. This word that says that you are righteous. Lord God, you are loving and you are kind and you hold us accountable. So, Father God, as I lift up again this word, I ask you to watch over the sick and the shut-in. Watch over Mother Valerie, Lord God. Watch over our pastor, Lord God. Watch over my pastor. And, Lord God, as we get ready for our prayer protection service on Saturday, we ask you, God, to watch over those that are essential workers that must go to work. And Lord God, we know that COVID is not gone. It's still here. This becomes just like the flu. So we are asking you, Lord God, to put a shield of protection around essential workers that go into homes that are firefighters and police officers, correctional officers, and inmates, God. We ask your protection over disease and plagues, God. We're asking you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, please, please, Lord, heal our land. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. As we go into the book of Jeremiah, it says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over there who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will rise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord of righteousness. And we know it's Jesus. When he comes again, when he comes again, he will be called the Lord our righteousness. And that is our title for this morning, the Lord our righteousness. We pray to the Lord our righteousness for peace. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they will no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whose mind has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. But the land is full of adulterers. But because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. The course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on the fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They are strengthened. They have also strengthened the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Even though I am praying for peace, I understand that it is God's will, not mine. Whatever happens, it is the will of God. And I'm going to say it. Sometimes God uses evil men to show us ourselves. And the word of God says in Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and it caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? And as moving forward, coin the phrase, the prophet liars. Thank you, Leah. Prophet liars just lying everywhere. All you have to do is turn on YouTube. You got the proper liars, and you have to say, Lord, give me discernment to know the proper liars versus the prophet. And I tell you, there are some prophets out there. There are those that are speaking the word of God, and how do you know? You feel it in the pit of your stomach. You feel the fire down in your bones. You know that they are prophesying truth. And the prophet lies, you see it. You see that evil coming out of them because they asked for you to send them money. Send this and you'll get this. Send that and you'll get that. Send this and you'll get water from the Jordan to pray over. It becomes idolatry. God is wanting us to pray to him. And he said, indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their father forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God is speaking to us today. God is speaking to us today through the prophet Jeremiah. And this time, Jeremiah was letting them know that we are going to get attacked by Babylon. And we are going to be taken into slavery by Babylonians. And we're going to be there for 70 years. But you had the prophet saying that he was a liar. You had the prophet that Jeremiah don't know what he's talking about. That crazy young prophet out there trying to tell folks what to do. Well, I've been prophesying for 50 billion years. And this young prophet trying to tell me, I know, no, you don't. You know you're lying. You're telling the king what he wants to hear. And you're telling the people what they want to hear, but not what thus says the Lord. Jeremiah got slapped by a prophet. By a prophet liar. Let me call it and clarify. He got slapped by a prophet liar. Slapped upside his head. Because he didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. And Jeremiah had to tell him about his blessing and told him what was going to happen. And when we go back to chapter 20, it says, now Pusher, the son of Emma, the priest, who was also chief governor, I'm sorry, he was a priest. And I said a prophet liar, but he was a priest liar. He was a chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Bashar struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin. But Jeremiah had a prophecy for him too. You know, and he said, the Lord has not called your name Bishop, but Magar Mishabel. But thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. You know, Jeremiah didn't play, you knocked me down, I'm going to tell you what God said. Understand, don't mess with God's prophets. I don't care who you think you are. A prophet of God is a prophet that's going to tell you the truth. Be ready. It is not going to be pleasant. Right now, God is trying his best to get our attention. And it says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, but every man's word will be his oracle, for you have perverted the word of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, and what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Chapter 24 of Jeremiah. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to the land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, but they shall return to me with their whole heart. And as the bad things which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely, thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for their harm to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse, in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them until from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. Whew. Don't mess with God. Don't proper lie on God. For God is speaking this morning through the prophet Jeremiah, getting our attention. And in Jeremiah, the life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley, where we are coming out of his Bible, the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And for those that are listening on social media, you can call in to this blog if you are not on Facebook or YouTube or on any other media. You can call in at 213-943-3597 if you have a word from God. Again, 213-943-3597. And if you call in, push the number 1, and your line will be open. Lesson from Jeremiah 23, chapter 23, verse 3. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, where I have driven them and bring them back. God desires to bless his people and to make them fruitful and numerous, just as he promises to one day gather Israel and bless us. So he longs to bless you when you obey him. God wants our whole heart. He wants an intimate relationship with us that affects every part of our lives, our work, our families, our friendships, our money, everything. He wants us, not what we have. We got to trust God. And in Jeremiah 23:6, he will be called the Lord our righteousness, our title for this morning. When we come to Jesus Christ in faith, he becomes our righteousness. We stand before God not on the basis of our efforts or record, but because of what he has done for us on the cross. Are you calling on the name of Jesus this morning? Jeremiah 23:24, can anyone hide himself and I shall not see him? God is never so busy with a new star in Orion or an erupting volcano on Venus that he has no time for you. He fills the universe so he can listen to your prayers even as he cares for everything else. God is not like Satan. God can be everywhere, where Satan can only be one place at a time. We need to understand that we give the devil too much credit. Understand that there are other angels and that are demons that take his place. And yes, they have their own little network of evil going on. That's why we got to pray. Pray over your home. Pray over your cars. Pray over your children. Pray as you're walking through the streets. Pray and pray without ceasing. And it says, what does the Bible say about how to increase your faith? And we'll get to that after we get to our Thessalonian word this morning. As we go into our psalm, 119th Psalm, verse 17-24. Samir, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. And, you know, when you read that, you're like, okay, Lord, are you talking aliens up in here? Because the word of God has the word alien all through it. But, you know, I'm going to just say no. But I'm not stupid to not believe that God made many, many people from all over this universe. And that, yeah, there may be the stranger in the earth. And that stranger may be an alien. I'm not going to say that cannot be true. And I know there are those that will say, Pastor Bridget done lost her mind. But how can we not think that our God is bigger than just us? That's all I'm saying. You know, I can't say, you know, anything, but I always understand and know that if you see it, Gene Roddenberry had a vision. He had a dream that there are other worlds out there. And there are other peoples out there. And I believe in my heart that there are other worlds out there. And there are other peoples out there. And if it is God's will for them to come to this planet and be strangers in the earth, then who are we to say that God is a little God that can only build the earth when we can see all the planets and more galaxies and things out in the universe, and we know that our Father God made them? We cannot put God in our human box. And the word says, do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud and curse who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt. I have kept your testimonies. princes also didn't speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Proverbs 27:15-16, a continual dripping on a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains heart restrains the wind, and grasps oil with his right hand. In other words, it can't be done. We don't need contention. We need love. We need God. We need faith. We need hope. And as I say, we need love. Love, love, love changes all kind of things. And we got to trust that God knows what's best for all of us. And as we go into 2 Thessalonians this morning, a new book, you know, hand clap. And we know in 1 Thessalonians, the 10 words or less, Jesus will return to gather his followers to him. And in 2 Thessalonians, in 10 words or less, Christians shall work until Jesus comes, until Jesus returns. But let's go back and say, who is the author of this book? It is the same as the author of 1 Thessalonians. It is Paul with Silas and Timothy. It was written around the same time as 1 Thessalonians, that we believe it is the second book, the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And to details, please, of 2 Thessalonians. Shortly after writing 1 Thessalonians, Paul dictates a follow-up, apparently a letter falsely claiming to be from Paul, left the Thessalonians shaken in mind and troubled. And at the thought that Jesus had already returned, Paul assures them that the event is still future and urges everyone to live positive and productive lives until the second coming. If any would not work, Paul reminds those who have dropped out in anticipation of Jesus' return, neither should he eat. That's where it comes from. A man that don't work is a man that don't eat. Quotable, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. It's in Revelation. Brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Come on now. Oh! We'll get to that in chapter 3. That's a word. That would probably be a title. Unique and unusual. The fact that Paul dictates this letter is clear from his comments. The salutation of Paul with my own hand. So I write chapter 3. So what? As with all the Christian life, balance is key. We should always look forward to Jesus' return. But we should also be busy doing good while we're here on earth. Folks want to talk about Jesus coming, but don't want to do anything. Don't want to go to work for the Lord. Want to sit with their hands under their knees, talking and complaining about everything, and talking about how hungry they are, but don't want to go to work. You know, standing on the corner with a sign is not work when there are places that are looking for employees. You know, come on now, pick up some cans. There's things that you can do besides sit on your mama's couch. It's time to go to work, family. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brother, as it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed, therefore we also pray always for you that our Lord would count you worthy of his calling, of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about faith, how to increase your faith, Dr. Stanley says, the Bible says, what are some practical steps you can take to increase your level of faith today? And if you are listening to this word this morning, you are doing number one. Read the Bible. Romans 10:17 explains, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is you must feed your faith a steady diet of God's word. Thank you for listening in. Faith, read your Bible, exercise your faith. An aspiring bodybuilder doesn't begin by lifting 500 pounds the first day. Rather, he exercises daily, gradually increasing his strength. Regularly exercising faith can bring about similar growth spiritually. Number three, embrace trials. 3-9 reveals a shocking truth that adversity addressed in God's power creates greater faith, just as fire purifies precious metals. Hardship strips away all but the pure core of faith. We gotta have faith. We gotta have faith that God will provide. Examine the testimonies of others. An individual's testimony is his own account of God's activity in his life. No one can ever deny, refute, or downplay another's testimony. When you hear of God's mighty deeds in someone else's life, your own faith in him grows. Pray. Number five, grace. Faith. You get to know someone by talking to them. That's just what prayer is. Your personal communication with God. And don't just talk. Be sure to spend time listening. God wants to speak to you. Practice obedience. Number six. You can never grow in your faith because you disobey what God tells you to do. Perfect faith is a byproduct of obedience. Put yourself in a position to see God's best for your life, and your faith will soar. Rationality. Ask the Lord to help you exercise your faith today. And as we go into some life lessons for 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. One good way to tell if you are growing in your faith is to notice how you react toward your brothers and sisters in the faith. Does your love abound toward them? Do you feel a greater urgency to pray for them? Ooh, yes, Lord. in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The worst thing about hell is not any physical suffering that may be involved, but the intense loneliness of absolute separation from the Creator, the giver of life. Those who want no part of God will get their way in hell. I'm just saying, because nobody knows the day or the time that they will leave this earth. And you have to talk about how much there is no God, okay? You keep talking that. You keep believing that atheist and agnostic word about no God, but there's something greater, but I don't believe in all that stuff, okay? But when you're sitting in hell and you're like, well, can I change my mind now? It's too late. As you're leaving this earth, it's too late. It's too late. There is a God, and he loves you. I have experienced his presence. And I can only say thank you, Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 1:12, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. How is Jesus glorified in us? When we strive to please God and eagerly do his will by tapping into the Spirit's power. Jesus is revealed as Lord and infinitely worthy of our service. And he gets the glory. Hallelujah. The Lord gets the glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ gets the glory. Thank you, Father, for a word this morning and a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from my sister, and I have yesterday's word, which came after we had finished up. And it's this, right on point. Peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is the presence of God. Have a tranquil Tuesday. Good morning today. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Just talking about faithfulness. And here comes Sister Carolyn with a word. And I know that word came from God. Keep Sister Carolyn and family in your prayer and ask God to put a hedge of protection around our children. I say it again. Children are in my heart. Children playing in Gaza near a hospital. And then the next minute, they are bombed to death. 500 people in a hospital lost their lives, including children. And yes, we must pray for them. Prayer changes things. And it tells us in number 5 that we just read how to increase our faith. Pray. You get to know someone by talking to them. That's just what prayer is. Your personal communication with God. And don't just talk. Be sure to spend time listening. God wants to speak to you. And that is our word for this morning. And as we pray our prayer, Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, asking you, Lord God, to watch between me and all those that are listening now and listening later. Please watch between us, Lord God. Please give us guidance towards you, God. Please, Lord God, give us the faith to know that you are in charge and nothing happens without your consent. The good, the bad, and the ugly, that it will make us stronger in our faith. To know that you, God, are in charge of everything. Father God, I ask your blessings over each and every household as you bless them, bless my God. Remove all fear to not like you from are fall clean, that there will be no darkness in any home, God, that we will see your marvelous light. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, let your light shine so men will see you in everything that they do. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord God, lifting up Judah, lifting up Israel, lifting up the innocent in Palestine, asking you, God, to bring peace if it is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray again over you and yours. Be blessed, family. Keep God first in everything that you do. And as Sister Carolyn says, God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Have a worry-free Wednesday.